Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to the QuakeCast. I'm RC.
And I'm DumpTruckDS.
And together, we're forming a new show called the QuakeCast, where we're going to be talking about Quake and games and developers who are inspired by Quake, I guess is the way we could put it.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I actually, we had a much longer description of that, and you kind of shortened it down to like a nice tight 10 words, which was, I was like, perfect. Mine was a much, much more wordy thing.
I'm glad you liked it because, you know, that if I can't nail that, that's kind of basically what I do for a living. So I better be able to make long things short, right? That's what I do for a living. So we are talking about Quake and the games it inspired. So I'm just going to have you introduce your Quake credentials, basically, and then I'll let people know what I do.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a bit. You know, Quake credentials or lack thereof, I suppose. I am a guy who grew up playing Quake, you could say. When the game came out, I was super, super excited. You know, had played Doom and probably, you know, Heretic at that point, you know. But once I saw Quake, I knew I was like, man, I have to play this game. We had played the shareware version of it online, and I was like, man, I was playing it at a friend's house, I should say. My computer, you know, it didn't have the, what was it, 4 megs of RAM that it required back then. So I actually had to work on getting that. So I played it at his friend's house, who actually had a really nice computer. But once I got an updated computer, it was just like love at first frag, I guess you could say. Because, man, I played Quake, you know, morning, noon, and night. It was just insane. But what I will say, though, is I played it online. I don't know if you were much of a multiplayer.
Definitely.
There, Dump Truck. Okay. That's where I was at. I pretty much completely ignored the single player part of Quake. And that continued on into Quake 2 and Quake 3. Even though I love those games, that's what I played, was the multiplayer. And I think a lot of other people did, which is why Quake 3 ended up the way it was.
Yeah, I think that was a conscious decision on their part and kind of a gamble on, you know, Carmack was kind of the lead designer on Quake 3, and that was his baby. And that was the thing. He was like, hey, all these people, you know, they stay for the multiplayer. So let's do a dedicated multiplayer version. And in my opinion, that's not my opinion. That is my favorite game of all time. Quake 3 Arena is just, I just love that game. I've put so many hours. I'm terrible at it, but I used to make maps for it and all that stuff. So Quake 3 has a very special place in my heart. The way I look at it is like, you know, Doom was my first love and, you know, Quake 3 is my true love, but Quake 1 is kind of like, you know, I don't know, my naughty girlfriend or something. My mistress. Yes. No, I feel the same way. Cause I was a huge Doom fan, played online, quote unquote online on Duango servers. And I don't know if people,
That's right. Duango.
Yeah. Duango. And I've got a little story about Duango. So I was on the Duango Long Beach, California server, and I met a friend and we would play Doom 2. And for people who don't know what Duango is, it was a bulletin board system, you know, kind of predated the prevalence of the internet. So you would dial into a server on a modem and you connect, and it was had this very rough DOS, you know, interface, and you would chat, you know, you just chat like you do on Discord. But what it allowed you to do is, you know, hit F3 or whatever it was to be ready. And then it would sync up the games because there wasn't a client server kind of game system back then. It was all peer to peer. So you all sunk up and you play Doom 2, and boy, talk about hours and hours of that. So I was already well into multiplayer when Quake came out. So when Quake came out and was TCP/IP and our Q-Test came out, fired it up for the first time, and I think I was playing with someone in Sweden. It was laggy, it was horrible, but I was like, my mind was absolutely blown that I was basically talking with in real time and seeing the person's avatar run around a DM1, you know, in real time on the other side of the world. So that's what I was hooked after that. So I've never been a really good player. I'm pretty crappy overall. I think the only game I was really good at is Soldier of Fortune 2. I don't know why, but
It's a controversial opinion, though. Quake 3 over Quake 1. I feel like people are going to listen to this and be like, what? But no. I actually was pretty in love with Quake 3 as well. I adored that game. Capture the Flag was so fun for me back then.
Space CTF, man, all the way.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember the first time I played online with Quake 2. It was actually the first time I had played anything online, because I didn't have the Duango experience, unfortunately. But the first time I got into Quake and I saw other people running around, and I was like, oh my God, like these are actual other people. I have no idea where they're from. You know, I don't know if they're even real people. Maybe it's a bot. Who knows? But it was just so cool to me. I was so interested from that point on that I was just like, I'm actually playing with others. So, so cool. And I have another funny story, too, is that or to add to what you were saying, the first time I loaded into Quake 2 to play multiplayer, because that was the first thing I did. Obviously, it's what you do when you play Quake back then. But I got a copy of the game, but I was in the same situation again, where my computer was not up to snuff, but I was like, forget it. I'm going to go grab a copy of Quake 2 and see what happens. So yeah, I went through the agonizing wait of it installing at the time from the CD. And once it finally loaded up, I was like, okay, find a server, found a server, punched it in, got in. And I think it was running at about 2 frames per second. So what was that?
That's just agony. That's horrible.
Oh, no. Yeah, I got into it and I shot the blaster and I remember it going, do, 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 do. Like even the sound was like choppy and I was like, oh my God, I can't play this. The only thing I really needed, actually, believe it or not, was a Voodoo card. Once I got one of those, it made the game run like butter. So,
yeah, it's pretty hysterical to look back and see how much of an industry, like the hardware industry, was driven by id Games, because it really was. Back in those days, you literally, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you bought that $200-$300 card for one game, right?
Yep.
Basically. Yep. I mean, that's how it was. And so the hardware sales went, I'm sure, and video, that's why video cards are what they are, is literally started back then with Quake 1. In fact, I had a Verite card. I had before the Riva came out and the Voodoo and all that stuff. I had the kind of first quote unquote hardware accelerated card. And see, I had a pretty decent job. I was working a lot of hours and, you know, working nights and all kinds of long shifts. So I would spend my money on this crap. So when Quake 1, when Quake 1 came out, I had it all planned out. I built two identical P1, I think there were P133s, maybe 166s. And I believe they had 16 megs of RAM, I want to say. Can't remember how big the hard drive was, but they were identical. I bought the boards, I bought everything, and got the networking stuff going, which was hell back then. And so my buddy, who I met on that Long Beach server, would come over on his lunch break. And I was, you know, hadn't gotten to work yet because I work nights. And we play Quake on his lunch break. It was hysterical. But it was so kick-ass because I bought two of those cards, two of those motherboards, all the RAM. And so anytime I wanted, I had a little tiny LAN party. And those were my salad days of Quake 1.
Man, yeah. Those were fun days. You know, it's funny too. I don't know how many podcasts you listen to or YouTube video, you know, channels you subscribe to or whatever, but obviously one of the more popular ones is Joe Rogan's channel and in his podcast. But he's talked quite a few times during his during his podcast about how much he loves Quake, because back in the day it was the same thing. Like he had moved out to Hollywood, he had hit, you know, a big break. I think he was on news radio or something at the time. Mm-hmm. So he had like this, like basically FU money, you know, he could do whatever he wanted with it. So he basically just got like the most expensive computer he could get. And he got this like super expensive line running to his house. But he talks to this day about how much he loves Quake and how addicted he was to it. So it wasn't just us. It was everybody who was like super into these multiplayer games. So everybody was like spending money on cards. Everybody was spending money on memory. It was just that's just what you did in the 90s if you were a PC gamer.
Exactly. I hopefully my monitor just Oh, okay. We're back. Sorry. Technical difficulties here. yeah. And so as you were kind of alluding to something with people in the Quake, one scene are kind of like, you know, violently against Quake 3. It was a very polarizing game, but you know, hey, I like what I like.
Yeah,
you know, I like all of its games, literally all of them for different reasons. And, I think there's room enough for all these titles, you know, but I was the same way. Multiplayer mostly. I didn't really discover single player. I probably played more than you did because I mapped and made single player maps and things. But I also made a lot of multiplayer maps. But to this day, I don't think I finished the second mission pack. Still, I haven't finished that. I've done that. I know I did Quake and I've played that a couple times and I've played the first mission pack. But and then I think with Quake 2, I was heavily into modding in Quake 2. I didn't make a ton of maps, only made a few box maps. But with Quake 3, it was like, forget it. This literally is the game they designed for me. I like the aesthetics, the textures, the sound design, I loved everything about that game. And then because Q3 test, the game was delayed for so long. We just kept playing those three maps. You know, this. Do you remember when the Q test came, Quake 3 test? And then it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we played the hell out of that. So in 1999, when Quake 3 was out and we were playing the hell out of it, you know, I had a 1 year old. You know, it was so great because I put him to bed and then I'd kind of tiptoe next door into the home the home office and fire it up with headphones and, you know, play until 2 or 3 in the morning. It was just disgusting. And that was just Q test. Forget the full game. So.
You know, it's funny you say that because I have such a funny story that relates, but it's almost like, I'll just tell it. I heard the guy tell the exact same story on a podcast where I was like, oh my God, me and this guy must be soulmates or something. But, you know, late at night here in Michigan where I live, it's like super cold winter playing Quake. Mm-hmm. And my dad out of nowhere just shows up. Like, it's probably a school night for me and I'm up way too late playing Quake. And he just shows up out of nowhere behind me wearing nothing but his like tidy whitey underwear. And he's just like, what are you doing up? And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know what happened after that. I think it just like, I probably left the game running, ran to bed or whatever. That image is forever burned in my mind.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you. So luckily Pops wasn't around when I didn't even have a computer until I was out of my house for probably a year, you know? So
okay.
It's been a while. My first computer was in 1989, I think it was, but, that's hysterical. Yeah. My dad did the tidy whitey thing, but that was me like coming home drunk, not playing Quake. David, what are you doing? Do you know it's dangerous? Blah, blah, you know, sitting there on the couch with his arms folded.
And you're like, you know what's dangerous? Those underwear.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you.
Yeah, you got some moth holes in there, Dad.
Right. I want to think about boxers.
Yeah. Well, one thing I have a great admiration for you is because of your channel, your show, The Quake Grave. And I think I've seen every one of your shows and the different iterations, but obviously I've seen more of The Quake Grave because that was my Friday night thing. I'd sit, you know, get home from work or, you know, have a beer and sit down and I'm too fried to go play a game. But so I would, you know, plop down on the couch, fire up my Chromecast and, you know, watch you on a big, like a 50 inch TV or whatever we have in the living room there. And it's so funny to, you know, be chatting with you now about Quake, but no, I was a huge fan of your show and I, you know, or still am, but what you've done for the Quake community is really fantastic. And I really loved when you had that amulet or that medallion from Spirit and you showed it. And I was like, I was really touched by that because I could see how much it meant to you and that someone would kind of do that for you and send you that medallion as a thank you. I think that's super classy on his part. And it just shows what dedication you've had, like well over 200 episodes now. And so you're the man, dude. I'm very honored to be, you know, casting with you.
Well, geez, man. Thank you. It's very flattering. I'm not quite sure what to say
but you
after
really,
that.
You really suck at getting secrets, though.
Okay, good.
I'll just
you got to cut first. Me somewhere.
Yeah, I cut you deep, man.
Good. No, and it's 100% true. I am the worst at finding secrets. Like everybody, watch my show. You'll see it. No, but thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I came back to Quake to do this show because I was like, you know what? I love Quake. I love multiplayer, but part of me really wants to get back to it. And I want to explore the single player aspect of it, because back in the day I played custom multiplayer maps. You know, I'd load them up, play them with bots, play them on servers and stuff, but I never really gave the single player side of Quake much of a chance. I played through the first episode billions of times because that was when you had the shareware version of it. You know, the first episode was available. Mm-hmm. And I played through it a bajillion times and had a ton of fun with it. So I know that by heart. I shouldn't say by heart, because people would be like, hey, you missed secrets in the one map. But regardless, love that episode. But episodes 2, 3, and 4 just eluded me. I never really went past, you know, the first or second map because I just didn't care to. I'd be like, oh, it's a single player is kind of what I play until my friends get home to play online. That's kind of what it was. So all these years later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to explore the single player part of it. And because, you know, YouTube and streaming and stuff is so popular now, I'm going to go ahead and record my results too. The funny thing is, it's funny you say you've watched every episode. I don't know if you've actually trekked back to the original version of the Quake Grave, like the first 10 episodes of it or so.
No, I actually I haven't seen every episode. I've seen a lot, but I haven't seen.
Okay.
So yeah, I haven't seen those early ones.
Yeah, I've had people tell me like, oof, it's rough going back to those. And it's funny, like you said, I'm almost at 250 episodes. Of course, you know, a few of those episodes are Quake 2 and some are Quake Champions and stuff like that. But I would say Quake 1 episodes are probably around the 230 episode list, you know.
Wow. That's impressive, man, because I know how much work it takes to, I mean, I think you've got a little more streamlined now, but it's, and you're a lot more comfortable now. So you could just do live stream, but, and the technology's there, obviously. But, you know, I know you edited things and had to kind of ingest video and all that stuff. And I know how much work it is, trust me. So that is amazing. You know, 250 episodes. And by the way, now we're like 18 minutes into this, you know, this is for every Quake. We're totally Quake agnostic.
Yes. Yeah, I love Quake in general. Just like, I know, again, controversial opinion, I like Quake Champions, so that might even come up now and then. So
of course I'm good. I mean, I honestly, I don't have a ton of time to play games, so I've played Quake Champions just a little bit. I think I bought the $20 thing or whatever it was very early on, just because I'm like, well, it's Quake, I'm gonna buy it, so I might as well do it now. And you know, I have my opinions on it, but I haven't had a bad experience. I just haven't really played it all that much, you know, and I suck.
Yeah, right.
I would talk about you not finding secrets, but trust me, there's a reason I don't stream my gameplay, because I'm pretty terrible. I get turned around in single player maps. I'll be like, wait, where was I going? Senior moment. Oh, yeah. Gold key.
That is funny, though. Yeah, I figured you would be into it, being as much, you know, into Quake 3 as you are.
I'm very particular about, you know, I got to be honest with you, and maybe you could illuminate, people are probably shaking their fist at me right now. I'm a real stickler about HUDs and user interfaces. And the busier they get, the more irritated I am with the game. So it's something I have to get over. But you tell me, can you customize it? Is there a minimal HUD now? Because back then there wasn't. And I just see the HUD getting more busy and more crazy. I don't know.
I think you're right. I think it's still a little busy, but I think that's what modern games are now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a trend I've seen over the years. It's very disheartening. I mean, I put, when I play Quake 1, I have the Quake World HUD where it's kind of, I don't use the weapons or anything. I just use ammo and health and the Quake World. So it's superimposed over it. And sometimes I just turn that off if I don't even care. You know, if I'm playing for pleasure, which I do, you know, I'll play people's maps or I'll just go fire. Like, you know, I'm getting ready to make a map starting later tonight. And, you know, I got to play a little bit. I got to kind of get my juices flowing and go, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's a cool set up with the monsters or what have you.
Yeah.
So Quake and the old school stuff is perfect for me because they weren't too busy, you know, but now it's like flashing and pulsing and what the hell did I just pick up? You know, what right. is that thing, you know? And they kind of, you know, with Quake Champions, they kind of, you know, took the, Quake 3 model where it's a little arcadey, but then they're kind of bleeding into this kind of cockpit, you know, Iron Man bullshit that drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'll get over it. I'll play it. You know, once you get your, you know, once you get the adrenaline going, it kind of all that stuff goes out the window. So I'm just older, so it takes a while to get the adrenaline flowing.
I'm not sure about these champions.
Yeah, exactly. Oh shit, I have to use a use key now. What's that all about?
Right. They got abilities. Arrgh.
Yeah, what's your favorite, by the way? Are you like the lizard dude or something? What's your favorite guy and ability champion, I should say?
Well, let me correct you. The lizard person is a lady.
Scarlet. So. What the hell is it? Scarlet. I never even bother with the names in Quake. So, just like lizard chick.
Yeah, it's Sarlag or Sorlag. I forget how you pronounce it. But yeah, aesthetically, I really like her. I like the lizard character. But playability wise, I love the newer Death Knight, the newest hero they added in. I just think like he has this perfect feeling of like, enough health and he's speedy, but he has a great ability as well. Like I really dig him quite a bit.
Cool. I'll definitely check that out. Cause I love the art design on him. He looks pretty cool. So, oh, and I just want to say one quick thing while we're recording. Cause yeah. You know, for anyone that's listening, you know, 20 minutes in, you know, 22 minutes into this thing, thank you, first of all, for listening. And I know I listen to podcasts and I'll hear someone who, you know, doesn't know the name of a character or what have you. And you're just like, what is this idiot doing on the podcast? And I just want everyone to know that I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm just terrible with names and deep and all that shit. So, my apologies. And by the way, this is PG-13, right? RC, I'm going to catch a lot of heat on my Discord for cursing here and there, but, I figured we're okay.
Yeah. As long as we don't go hard R or X, I think we're good.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah, getting back to what you were asking me before about the channel and stuff like that. So I basically created the channel and started it with the idea of, you know, it's my foray of coming back to Quake. So I'll kind of segue over to you and say, you know, you have also have a great channel on YouTube that talks about mapping. So while I'm on the player perspective of playing all of these maps that are coming out and all of the classic maps that exist, you're over here not only building them yourself, but you're actually teaching others how to do it on your channel.
Yeah, it's funny hearing you kind of say that back to me, because it's like, oh yeah, that is what I do. I see myself as just a Quaker, right? So, but yeah, what I wanted to do was back in 2015 when I discovered Trench Broom, I had come back to Quake every few years, you know, to check out the tools, because there's always something, or a new editor, or somebody bringing back an old editor and bringing it back to life. And I love mapping so much. It's just such an enjoyable Dharma Zen like thing for me. I just love it. So I thought, you know, I'm not a programmer. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a streamer. I'm not that good at gaming. What can I do to give back to the Quake community? Like, you know, Dr. Sleep. I'm sorry, not Dr. Sleep, Sleepwalker and Eric W. Those guys are so inspirational to me with the work that they do on the tools and the editing stuff. What could I do? What are my skills that I could do? And I'm a video professional. So I'm a creative professional. I'm an editor by trade, writer, producer, editor of promos, TV promos. And so, but I also have a bunch of video gear for when I had my own company a few years ago. And so I've done a ton of shoots. So I've got all this video gear and I thought, you know what? I like teaching people. I think I'm a decent communicator. I'm going to do tutorials. So I started writing them up and it was a long-term thing. And I recorded that first one and the response was beyond what I could possibly have imagined. I thought there'd be like 12 people or 20 people that watched it. And I thought, you know, if one person gets something out of this, then, you know, thumbs up. So that was really the genesis of my channel. I am much more comfortable on camera now. But in general, I didn't want to be on camera. I was like, but I don't want to sit there and have my face on there. But, you know, you gotta push past that stuff. There are a lot of people in the Quake scene that I know right now that could do this stuff and they just, haven't broken that barrier yet. And, I just went ahead and did it. You know, I'm at the age now in my life where I'm like, you know, I'm doing it. I don't care if I look like a fool. I'm going to go for it. So, and the response has been good. And I will say there's, and you probably know this already, but there's research from Google that says, you know, if you connect with a person's face and their personality, they're going to keep coming back. And I think I think your channel is definitely bears that out, and my tutorials do too, because I'm telling you, I keep getting more subs and more people showing up, and probably at least once or twice a week, people thank me and say, thank you. I loved Quake when I was younger and now I'm back into it and I'm going to start mapping. And I'm telling you, you know, and I know you get feedback too. It's just fantastic. So mission accomplished.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I would say my feedback went from, I love the show. I'm glad someone is doing this. I used to play Quake, similar to what you said, to now it's comments where, why haven't you played through this map yet? So it's come to be an expectation now, which I think it's a good thing, because it means, you know, you becoming a staple of the place, you know. It's,
yeah. I mean, you know, and, yeah. And you can't please everybody. So you just gotta totally. Kind of stick to your guns and just do what you do. You do you, just like you did from the beginning, and you just go for it.
Totally, man. And you know, I got to say, I'm very proud to see what you have done in the very short time that you have been doing these videos, because the amount of people that I have seen talk about your videos and the amount that they've learned from them is just where my jaw drops, because I'm just like, you know, Dump Truck is taking this super old game that, in my opinion, at least, is almost like has an archaic approach to design and building and stuff like that, and making it so it's understandable in this day and age, you know, to take something that was built with, like, you know, nigh developer tools back then. And now we have great teams that are developing tools, and you are interpreting those tools for people to know how to use them and what to do and how to build with them and everything. I think it's just, like, in my opinion, I think it's remarkable.
Well, thank you. And I will say that without the community, this wouldn't exist. This wouldn't happen, because I've, you know, before I even started the videos, I was picking people's brains, saying, you know, what do you think of the most common questions, and, you know, which tack should I take? And I had this huge plan, and I presented it to Sleepwalker and Eric W., who are the developers of Trench Broom, and Eric just wrote like one sentence, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically, I think you're kind of overdoing it. Just do like one video where you tell everything in one video, as opposed to breaking it up. And then, you know, just other tutorials later. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And it was really the right thing. Cause I would have broken up that first video up into chunks. And, it's a total info dump. I mean, I think that thing's 14 minutes long, and I'm telling you, it's hard to follow. It's intended for you to pause it and stop, cause I just rip through everything without any, you know, a lot of commentary. So just, you know, I really owe the success of this to a lot of people, and it's not like I'm collaborating on it, but I'm going out there to the people who really know their stuff and asking questions. So it couldn't happen without the community. And what I want to see is that, I just don't want Quake to die. You know, it makes me so happy to be involved in mapping and making content. And now with this, you know, with Discord and with, you know, Funk Message Board and all that, it's just staying in touch on a daily basis with this community is something I really haven't experienced before in my life, which is kind of weird. It's kind of, I've had a lot of friends in my life and done a lot of things, and like Friday night poker and things like that. But that's what this feels like day in, day out. Something I love to do, love to be involved with, is just right there in front of me. So, anyway, blah, blah about that.
No. That's all really good to hear. Cause you know, it's been the same on my end, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when life gets busy, you know, cause obviously we don't do this for a job. This is like a hobby that we both do these things for. If you miss a week, like I have done before, people get a little irritated. They're kind of like, are we doing one this weekend? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, this weekend I'm pretty busy. I may not be able to do it. And people are, you know, they voice their disappointment. They're like, I need my Quake Rave this weekend.
I was the same way. When I was really watching a ton of your stuff every week, I'd be like, oh, there's no new episode.
Yeah. And it does happen. I literally try to get one out every week. And some weeks it is just really, really hard to find the time. what with buying a new house and trying to fix it up and work and everything else, you know how it goes. But
yeah, congratulations, by the way. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, if you watch the stream, you'll see I'm in the middle of basement remodeling at the moment, which is kind of cool, but also a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's again, very flattering to hear that people, they like the show so much that like they voice their disappointment about like, wow, there isn't one on Friday. Will there be one tomorrow? And I'm like, I think so. Yes. And then sometimes that gets delayed. It's just like, it's crazy, but it's, again, very flattering. I'm sure on your side to know that people are watching and really, really loving the videos. And on my side, it's also the same to have people watch and go like, oh, what does RC think of this map? Even though a lot of times I feel like my opinions are really bad on certain things, you know?
Not at all.
No.
You have good insight.
Sometimes I feel like I'm speaking and I just sound like, I feel like I sound like an idiot, you know, but hey.
Hey, so, well, speaking of getting off of streaming, let's talk about the Quake Awards for a minute. You were a judge, and some people listening to this may not know that you were involved with the Quake Awards. You want to talk about that a little bit? Because I know you were, I don't know if you were surprised, but I know you commented on being a judge, and let's hear about that.
Yeah, I was actually quite shocked that I was invited to be a judge on that because again, I think this is a great continuation of what I was just saying. I feel like on my show that I'm kind of a boob. I miss secrets.
No.
You know, I say silly things. People in the chat are like, RC, you missed this. You didn't do that. You didn't do this. And I'm like, I know, I'm trying. I'm playing
that's
the game.
Why we that's why we love you, dude.
I know. But that is why I was really surprised that ShamblerKnot came out of nowhere. Obviously, shout out to ShamblerKnot who organized the Quake Awards. And he asked me point blank, like, do you want to be a part of this? Would you like to help me judge some maps for the year? And I said, well, hell yeah, of course. I'd love to. But I was shocked to be a part of it, to be quite honest.
I didn't think it was surprising at all because you are a good, you know, you're a good bird. And also, you've played a hell of a lot of single player Quake. Who else? I mean, who else would you get? You know, so I think it was a great match. I was skeptical. I'm sure people are, some of the people listening know this already, but I was skeptical of the Quake Awards when it first happened, because that was, at a time when there was some drama. You know, there's always drama in this community, but there was some stuff going on Funk Message Board. And so one thing that I've learned just by going to Funk Message Board every day for 3+ years is, become a critical thinker, not critical in a negative sense, just a critical thinker. Like, look at this from a couple different logical, sides. So I've learned a lot from the guys who, and the people that, post there. And I was critical of the Quake Awards for a couple different reasons, just because it was kind of sprung out of nowhere. I was like, well, don't you want to talk about this? You're just kind of laying down the law. So, but to his credit, you know, ShamblerKnot engaged with people that were questioning it and answered every question. And I kind of came around and I was actually criticized for, you know, doing a flip, you know, flipping on it. But it was, to me, it was more like, no, this is a process. I had some concerns. For actually, it was a really specific reason I don't want to get into, but I had some concerns about.
Whoa!
No, it's a long, stupid story, and it has.
That's fine. I'm just
more
kidding.
Crap on me. No, there were some, you know, criticisms earlier in that month. But anyway, so he answered all the questions. He took suggestions from people, and he was very open about it, and very professional, and very courteous about it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give this a chance. And I think it did turn out really well. In fact, I regret not doing a show on it. I told him I'd do one and it was just not, I didn't prioritize. And then time passed and I didn't do a show. So we'll rectify that on the Quakecast here pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But shame. Shame.
Shame.
No, I agree with you. Like I didn't know ShamblerKnot that well until we did the Quake Awards, because I believe I helped him a few years ago when he was doing sort of this, I forget the name of it, but it was where we were posting news and it was like a Quake Expo thing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Quake Expo. Yeah.
So the Quake Expo thing, I don't know how well that actually went over, but I helped him post news on it when I was available and whatnot. And I thought that that went really well, but me and him didn't chat a whole lot. But fast forward to doing the Quake Awards, me and him chatted a lot more. And I find him to be a very, not only pleasant person, but a very passionate person. When you saw all the work that he put into the Quake Awards, in my mind, I was giddy to be a part of it, because talking positively about maps in any light, even if it's just giving someone a quick award to say like, hey, I really liked your map this year, is I think is nothing but positive. And it's, you know, something the community needs more of is positivity. But then when I saw all of the things he was writing up, it wasn't just him writing up about the maps that won. He was like, here's an article about a few other maps that were, you know, runners up and why you should probably check them out anyway. I was like, ShamblerNot is really doing the due diligence of going through and making sure that everybody gets a little bit of a nod here and there for what they did. And I was just like, man, you know, props to him for doing that. I really admire him for that.
Yeah, we'll get into it in more detail when, because he's going to be one of our guests. But yeah, I mean, that whole thing worked out really well. I think, you know, I think as far as the mapping community, you know, we are coming out of a drought of a few years of maps and projects and things. And I think the horizon is going to get more beautiful as time goes on. I think we're going to see it. I'd like to see the Quake Expo come back. Basically what that was, and I don't know the entire history of it, but the Quake Expo was basically a website that you'd log into and you'd have a quote unquote booth. And so let's say for my project that just came out recently, I would put a booth up for that and I would do graphics and I'd, you know, put multimedia and put links and everything and explain it. And it was kind of rolled out sort of like a, you know, a virtual QuakeCon kind of thing. So those were kind of hot, I want to say. And again, I don't know the exact time, but I don't want to look it up yet, but probably 4 or 5 years in a row. And then it kind of trailed off and I'd like to see that come back. So when you mentioned Quake Expo, I was like, oh yeah, we got to get that going again. And we got to see more big mods. You know, we got to see more Arcane Dimension, more Rubicon Rumble Pack. I mean, those are legendary pieces of content, but I think we've got talent in this body of mappers that it's coming out and somebody's going to get something together and we're going to see another type of Arcane Dimension from a whole nother group of people. So I think the future's really bright for this old rickety game.
Yeah. And I think you're right. And that leads me to my question for you is, how was it working on your most recent project? There was a Progs Dump. Is that what the name of it?
Yeah, you said it correctly. I said it wrong. Progs Dump. I think of it as a program data file. So I would say Progs, but it is Progs phonetically. So I stand corrected, but I'm just going to keep saying Progs.
So yeah, tell me a little bit of like what inspired you to create that? Like what was the whole idea behind getting this together?
Well, when I was making the tutorials and also doing my mapping projects, things were going well and I was, you know, making progress in my skills as a mapper, quote unquote. I still have a long way to go, but I felt comfortable and I felt like, okay, the tutorials are going great. My mapping, I feel comfortable now. And I've always wanted to do Quake C, which is the, you know, for people that don't know, that's the game Logic, right? So the source was released years and years ago when the game came out, and you could tweak these text files and compile them into a custom progs or progs dat file. And so my goal was to learn Quake C, or at least start to learn, because trust me, I do not know Quake C still. But it had been a goal for a while, and then I just solidified, you know what? I want to do something that challenges my abilities, because I've never done anything like this, never done any kind of coding before. And so it was kind of a challenge to myself, but also I'm a practical guy, so I wanted to at least do something that would be useful to people. Now, we'll see if that we'll see if that's successful, but what it was I went through all the source code and found these features that I wanted for my own stuff. So the idea behind this is that, you know, Arcane Dimensions has different models, different sounds, a bunch of different monsters, the code is really different than normal Quake C. It's been, I don't want to say rewritten from scratch, but it's a lot of it's been rewritten and restructured. And so I looked at that code to make a mod, to do a mod, and it was just too much. It was just too tied into Arcane Dimensions. So I thought, okay, well, then there's Quoth, and Quoth, I've done a few maps for Quoth now. Quoth is not open source, so you can't get the source. So strike out there. There are other development kits, as I've found over the time, that would have been fine. I could have just used them, but reading on Funk Message Board, I started piecing together. Okay, I'm going to take this ingredient and Chinese menu this thing, this ingredient from this mod, this ingredient from this mod. And so the end product right now is, it's going to look like normal id one, they call, you know, vanilla Quake, but under the hood for mappers, there's all these features that we miss, like custom sounds. You know, you want to add a custom sound or spooky sound in there. Well, that's in there. You want to put custom models, like a statue or whatever you want, candles or, you know, whatever you want to put in your map. You can do that as well. And then that way it's a small little download, because I know downloads really don't matter anymore, but you know, I didn't want to do something that was 180 megs to download. I just wanted something that's kind of small and that's customizable for mappers. So that's in a nutshell what that is. And right now we're doing a map jam, started last night, and it's going through the weekend, and I've actually got to do one because it's my mod. I better do a map for it.
So, right.
But I got some really good participation from Yoder, also known as McLoganog. And he did a map for Progsdat as like a showcase, like a sample map. And then Ionis, he did two maps. So, and it's funny because Ionis is not known as a real speedy mapper, but man, he kicked out two maps really quickly for this. And they look fantastic, play really well. And Yoder's map is, he brings a new sensibility. I'm hoping him, you know, we can get him on the Quakecast because he has a whole new perspective of mapping that I haven't really seen yet in the community. So I'm very proud of what I accomplished, but it's really just a lot of copy and pasting and trial and error. So that's,
well, it sounds like a hell of a lot of work, though.
It was. It was 2 months in my spare time. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I did. I think I only did maybe one video in that amount of time, maybe two. But so yeah, I was really, and it's addicting, like mapping. You're like, you've got that cause and effect and that reward cycle that, you know, we all get from video games is the same thing. You say, oh, you know what? I think I could do this. Let me put that in there, and you compile it, and there's no red flags or anything. And you just go, oh, cool. It worked. I did it. Now, what did I just do? Yeah. So it's cool. I'm in like the toddler zone right now. I'm, you know, and again, it's a community thing. So I really owe, you know, everything to the people that answered my questions and helped me out on Funk Message Board and Discord. I wouldn't have been able to do it without help.
Well, the one thing I will say, I think you cut yourself just a little bit too short, just because, I mean, from, you know, your Discord channel to your YouTube channel to, you know, further releases of, you know, organizing jams and getting, you know, your progs dumped together and everything like that. Like, I mean, you're making it happen, man. At this point, I feel like you're kind of a go-to for a lot of people, you know, so, you know, congratulate you on that and say thank you for stepping in and being that person.
Well, thank you. I mean, that means a lot to me just personally. I don't want this whole podcast to be about me and, you know, but I mean, that means a lot. That makes me feel good. It keeps me going. You know, when you get those, I'm sure you get a ton of them, but you get these messages on, you know, YouTube through the app, you know, on my phone. It's like, thank you so much for this, you know, tutorial. It's like, hey, that just made my day, man. I feel great. You know, sure, I'll go and stay up till one and do another video. That's fine.
No kidding, right? Yeah. Yeah, that is one thing that is great. You were talking about the sort of the carrot on the stick situation of, you know, put a lot of work in, reward at the end feels good. That definitely comes into play with the streaming and the videos and stuff too. Getting those comments and hanging out with everybody in the community, just having fun is such a great time. But yeah, I got to say, since coming back to the community, I think this January or February, is somewhere around there, is going to be about the 5-year mark for me coming back. I only know that because that's when I started my channel, which is when I came back to the community. Mm-hmm. and people started watching. But 5 years in, and you know, I'm still having fun with it for sure. I do have one important question for you though, Dumb Truck, which is something I've been feeling a little bit lately. Do you ever feel any, you know, burnt out on Quake at all?
Oh, you know, not yet. I think, it's such a funny question because I think what it is for me is I have spare time. I have much more spare time than I did a few years ago when I had my own business. Forget it. I literally had no spare time at all. And now I have a job. Luckily I live really close to work. My kids are older, so they're kind of self-sufficient. Everything around the house is going okay. So I don't have like any big construction things like you have. I got all that out of the way a long time ago. So I do have, right. I have more spare time than I used to, but I still don't have a lot of spare time, you know? So, I have to make it count. And I think right now, if anything, I'm kind of, I have more ideas. The more I go and do this stuff, the more I want to do. And, so the videos aren't a chore. I don't play as much Quake as I should, to be quite honest with you. I try to like, if I know there's a new mapper that's just coming in, I will go out of my way to play that map as soon as possible. But for some more established people who I know they're good and I know it's going to be a good map, I kind of put that on the back burner sometimes. So I have to prioritize. So no, to answer your question, no, I'm not over it. I'm not done with it. I feel, like I said, this Quake C thing, God, this will keep me going for years. I mean, literally. I mean, it will. I've wanted to do it and it'll translate. I know when Trench Broom gets Quake 3 arena support, which is down the line, I know they're planning on it. When that gets, I'm going to jump off of Quake 1 and jump into Quake 3, not permanently, probably just as a project or, you know, I don't see it sustaining, but yeah, I'm a Quaker man. I'm diehard. And videos, I have so many videos to do, RC. I have hours of footage from QuakeCon. I have QuakeCon from 1997, the second QuakeCon.
Oh, cool.
Just wait till you see it. And for any fans of of Ritual or Hypnotic, back then they were Ritual, I think, or they were Hypnotic and then they changed to Ritual, I think. Sin, they were working on Sin. And so I have a lot of footage. I went to their offices because they were kind of a new development company, you know, and I just reached out to them and they were, yeah, come take a look and videotape. So I have videotape of, you know, them working on the first iterations of Sin. I have, you know, I've got QuakeCon, you know, the original QuakeCon. And then I have QuakeCon from 2000, I believe. I didn't video the last time I went, which was, I think, 07, but 2000, I have a ton of interviews. I talk about Quake 3 Arena. It was all about, you know, Quake 3 Arena. So I have some kick-ass footage I've got to get through and present. You know, I just started that with a Carmack thing a couple months ago. In August, I think it was. I had Carmack's. I don't know. Did you see that, by the way?
No, I think I missed that.
Okay. On my channel, I have a different show called Giblets, which is just more Giblets. Sorry.
Giblets.
Sorry.
It's Giblets.
I've said Gibbs for so long and now I'm trying to say it right, you know, but, yeah, I have a show called Giblets and that's my miscellaneous. Like, I don't know what to call. This is not a tutorial. This is, you know, Giblets. So I have Carmack's, QuakeCon talk from 2000. And, you know, it's just for historical perspective, you know, so people that are hardcore. And if you're 49 minutes into this podcast, you're hardcore. So you should.
Well, his talks were legendary he was a part
of. Yeah. And this was a good one too. He talked about, in fact, you should go take a look at it because, he talks about consoles, you know, he talks about the PS2 and the Dreamcast and all this stuff. And I know you're partial to consoles right now, or at least you have been. And some of the videos I've watched. So, you know, you should take a look. I mean, again, it's now things have changed dramatically, but it was right on the cusp. Like Xbox hadn't even been released yet. So it was a totally different world that he's talking about. So yeah, it's cool stuff. And I don't know if I've got, I didn't meet him in, you know, he wasn't there in 97 when I was there. So, but I've got some cool stuff. And just videos alone, I have another year of content minimum, I think.
I'm definitely going to go check that out because you just made me like sort of like my eyes widened when you were like, yeah, this was like right before the Xbox came out and all that. And I was like, oh my God, I love that era. Yeah. This is going to be cool.
He's got some very nerdy, interesting things, but it's not super technical. He even says in the speech or in the talk, he says, yeah, I'm not going to talk about such and such and so. And so rasterizing shader fourplexes or whatever. And then everybody goes, oh, right. It's pretty funny. So, but I will say just a warning, that day, if I'm not mistaken, either the battery was dying and I was trying to save battery or I was running out of tape. I think I was running out of tape because it kind of, that's a long story, but I didn't have enough tape. So I was kind of pausing it when people would ask questions or there was an interruption or my arm got tired from holding the camera. So it's not the entire speech, but it's most of it.
That's really cool though. I'm glad that people like yourself are archiving some of this stuff to watch. I love going on YouTube and finding these old documentaries from the 90s. Like the one I just watched recently was the Mortal Kombat team. And I think it was the behind the scenes of Mortal Kombat 3. So I don't know how familiar you are with Mortal Kombat and that universe and everything.
A little bit. I did see that on Twitter. I was like, oh, is this real? I thought it was kind of a gag. I'm like, what? Is this for real?
It was probably one of those demos or documentaries that they included on like a disc back then, you know, on something.
Yeah.
And they're just like, here, this is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. The shitty Mortal Kombat sequel is out and this documentary is on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that same stuff. There's some amazing content creators. I mean, I wish I could do more polished high end stuff, but I mean, I cannot believe the amount of time that some of these people like Retro Ahoy and there's another guy.
I know.
What's the other guy does? He did all the Legend of Zelda games. It'll come to me in after we log off, but he did this great thing where he covered the gameplay and design of all the Zelda games and people are screaming it at their pod, you know, their phones right now. But anyway, he did a great thing and the amount of work and editing and writing that goes into this stuff just blows my mind. I do not have that kind of free time, but I love that stuff.
No, I do too. Yeah. When you find a really well edited channel, it's amazing. I actually, my channel used to be edited. I used to do all the videos, you know, through, you know, video editing and stuff like that. I had to nix that because my time was kind of running short on a lot of that stuff. So streaming has become like a really, I would say it's become a godsend for me. So that way I can still do this. Cause otherwise if I was recording 2 hour things and then, you know, processing that later. Oy,
exactly.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. I did fire up OBS or SOBS. And a Streamlabs one. And just to kind of kick.
I believe they call it Slobs.
Slobs, yes. It wasn't coming to me.
That's all right. Slobs. I use it every day, so I just know now.
Yeah. Oh, good. So that's an endorsement. I fired it up and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And my son texted me, hey, streaming, huh? And then Marto was like, streaming, huh? I'm like, wait, what happened? I just was on for like literally 10 seconds and it's like blasted out to all my people. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh my God. So, but right now I don't have any plans on streaming. I just, kind of considered doing it to help some new, mappers out and just going to go online and say, here's how you do this stuff. And then I can archive it as a show. So I might do that possibly, but we'll see. I got a to-do list like long as my arm.
I hear you, man. Just for the tutorials. I hear you. I still got to play through every Quake 1 level at some point. So.
Oh, my God, dude.
We'll be here for a very long time.
Yeah, you have a long way to go. I mean, could you imagine someone doing this for Doom? I know Doom has its own community and podcasts and all that stuff, but that's literally impossible. I think with Quake, you could do it conceivably, but yeah, it was going to take you a while.
It's going to take a while. And, you know, that's actually part of the reason why I asked you earlier if you're getting burned out, because after close to 5 years here, I'm getting to the point where I don't dislike Quake at all, but I need a small break. So actually what I'm going to be doing coming up here, talking about projects and games and stuff like that, I'm going to be streaming Blood. So,
which is great because I never caught that one and everybody raves about that game. So I'll be definitely tuning into that.
And that's kind of how I felt too. I hear all the time, and I've been hearing it for years from people. Hey, you going to stream Blood sometime? You going to play that? And I'm like, yes, I think. And I feel like this is the perfect time to take a small break from playing Quake maps and play a different game. And Blood is another game that I've never played either. Like I have this story that I've told on my people who watch my show are probably like, oh boy, he's going to tell the Blood story again. But you know, back in the days of, you know, PC Gamer and getting free demo discs and stuff like that, there was a Blood demo on this disc that I just could never get to run. And as much as I wanted to play the game, I kind of felt at the time like, well, I'm not going to buy this game if I can't even get the demo to run, because what does that say about the full game, right? Fast forward to now and people consider it a cult classic. So I'm looking forward to playing through it, especially with the new port that is available now that lets you run it on higher resolutions. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I mean, that build engine era was cool. I played Duke Nukem, obviously, and that was also on Duango. We played that multiplayer. That was a hoot. I mean, talk about a hoot playing Duke, you know, but Quake came out and I was like, bye. see you later. Yeah, those games are great. I think there's so many games out there, and you're really good at some of those, you know, kind of showcasing those little indie Switch games. I like those too. I get, 'cause those are games I'd never play, but I'm totally interested in them. I want to see the dynamics and the artwork. You know, I told you before, on another project that we did that, I just love the game industry. I'm just interested in it. I've always been interested in the industry and the artistry of it and everything. So just watching you play a Switch game is cool for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah. And you know, I actually really like those little games. As you were saying, like, you know, with time, at least for me, not being as available as it used to be, getting a game that's like 4 hours long that I could play through is awesome, you know, because I can't really play the big RPGs anymore. So showcasing these little games where I could play like an hour or two of them and kind of get the whole concept and be able to show them off has been great. And I've been fortunate enough to be in a position where, you know, publishers and developers have been wanting to send me their code to actually showcase on the channel. So that's been a really big perk as of the past year. So
that's really cool. That's awesome. That's where you want to be.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I know that everything we put on the channel isn't going to be what Quakers want to see, you know, because I'm showing off everything. For those who don't know, who watch the Quake Rave or don't watch it, I run another set of videos on my channel called GGRC, just means Good Game RC. And I try to just showcase good games or games that I'm playing that I think are, you know, worth your time or worth checking out. So I cover everything from FPSs to, you know, super cute 2D platformers and beyond that, you know. So not every game is going to be for you, but there have been quite a few games that I've showed off where some of my Quake community or some of the Quake community rather, would go on there and comment and say like, oh, this game actually looks really cool. And this is coming from guys who have played Quake for the past 20 years, you know? So I think that that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. You're doing a community service, dude.
It definitely sometimes feels that way, but I just like playing games. I think that's really all it comes down to. So being able to show them off is even more fun.
That's great. Well, I think, should we sign off for now? I think we're getting close to the 1 hour mark.
I think so. I think at this point, you know, I just want to say thanks to everybody who's continued listening to us rattle on for this long. We have many special guests, some that you may know, some that you may not know. I think that's really going to be a lot of fun to have different people on here. We'll be able to get their take on Quake and other things games related.
I agree. I'm looking forward to this. And I will say, just as a special treat, this is like a sort of your Easter egg for hanging in here to, you know, 59 minutes in here. There was a Quakecast in the past on Blues News. They would do it was back in the days of Real Media, which was the first kind of streaming form, one of the first streaming formats. And I was a guest on the Quakecast. So we're shamelessly stealing the name from the now defunct Quakecast, and we're gonna upgrade this baby. I was on it, and well, that's a story for another day. And
okay,
I hope no one finds that recording.
I was just gonna say, I hope we find that recording.
No, I hope.
Does that mean we have to contact Blue? He's still around, right?
Oh boy. I'll sue you guys. No, I'm kidding. So the Quake cast lives, and you know, we're going to talk about more than just Quake, but boy, what a pleasure it is to chat with you and share our thoughts with an audience. And we're going to have some cool stuff moving forward.
Yeah. Likewise, Dump Truck. Good to be with you on the show, and really looking forward to getting our first guest show up and running here.
Cool.
All right, guys, we'll see you all next time on the Quakecast. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dump Truck _DS.